The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. Let's begin our Tuesday. Gary, how are you? All right, good luck, everybody.
Coming up on the show today, the most stressful jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Democrats argue about humanitarian aid at the border. And still, a question that no Republican, no one has asked so far. We'll get to that. Representative Amash says that the president does not have the constitutional authority to attack Iran. We'll get to the specifics of that, the debate.
All right. Just a little over a day away.
Yeah, right.
A new poll suggests that more people than since when they started taking the poll believe illegal immigration is the biggest problem in this country, which is why we get frustrated at the administration and the Republicans on an issue that they could win hands down, and they don't argue it right.
Mm-hmm. Come on. It's easy. You can do that.
Supreme Court decisions from yesterday. Mm. Trump imposes more sanctions on Iran and a whole bunch more, but we need to start with the audio that I have here from the leader of the Democratic Party who speaks yesterday.
Okay.
All right. Everybody stop what you're doing unless you're driving.
Yep.
Okay. Continue driving, but
please drive safely.
Turn the volume up higher.
That's right. Crank it up.
And of course, we're talking about AOC. Who, if you saw this, I was reading the story in The Hill yesterday and talk about, you know, the whole humanitarian thing at the border and how the Democrats are attempting to, come up with a bill that would be acceptable to, you know, agree with Donald Trump with. And who's the major person that they talk to coming out of the meeting?
Mm.
AOC.
Mm-hmm.
What does AOC think?
Mm-hmm.
What does AOC think?
Mm-hmm.
What does AOC think? So, as we talked about on yesterday's show, Bernie Sanders coming up with the idea of paying off all of the debt of anyone who has any college debt.
Yeah.
Not helping those who are even delinquent.
Right.
This would be you, the taxpayer, paying it all and paying for everybody's college.
Yeah, okay.
It would cost $200 billion a year at the minimum, because that's what Bernie Sanders wishes to get out of the tax, is $200 billion. Now, AOC, of course, you've got to get her endorsement. So she was discussing yesterday about the problem of young people and college. And I want you to listen to this audio cut, and then you can respond as to what you would say to AOC. All right? So here we go.
I think so much about this moment when I was in college, and I was mentoring this girl, this young woman. Her name was Andrea. She was about 3 or 4 years younger than me. But I was about 19 years old, and she was in high school. And she had gotten into all of these prestigious universities, but she was given no student loan assistance, no real she was given no scholarships. All of her student aid was presented to her in the form of loans. And she came from a solid middle-class family. She was not exceedingly wealthy. And so she got into her dream college, but her dream college offered her no scholarships, just loans. And she truly felt, at 16, 17 years old, she felt that the decision of college was so important that she felt that she needed to consider taking on $250,000 worth of debt to go to college. And she's 17 years old, and here I am calling her from my dormitory, a 19-year-old consulting a 17-year-old about a $250,000 loan debt situation. And I think that in and of itself illustrates the absurdity of our education financing system. That alone illustrates it. Because what we tell 17-year-olds all the time is that you are not old enough or responsible enough to drink. You are not old enough or responsible enough to vote. You are not old enough or responsible enough to serve in our military, but you are old enough and responsible enough to take on $250,000 worth of debt. And that is wrong.
There you go. Your response to AOC. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Yeah. Okay.
Is her friend a victim of the system?
Yes. And so am I.
By the way, I will tell you that I'm sure the college which she wishes to go to is not a public college.
Yeah, right.
That would not be covered under Bernie Sanders' bill.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Does AOC know
that? Well, it would be covered. It would be covered under the part of the bill that would relieve her student debt. But it would not pay in the future for any private college.
Okay.
But it would cover, this bill would cover all private. So 866-90-RED-EYE, what would you have to say to AOC? Is this woman a victim of the system?
What about a means test? What about a college loan student? The parents say, look, we're very wealthy, but you're going to have to do this yourself. So go out, work hard, get your own college loan, put yourself through college. That's the standard in our family, and that's if you want to do that, you're going to have to do that on your own. Because you know that's going to come up. You know if they were to go through all, by the way, it's not going to happen. We're not going to pay $1.6 trillion in college loans.
No, this is never going to happen, folks. This
but the consideration is never complete. And the reason the consideration is never complete is because Bernie knows full well it's never going to happen. And they don't even have to think about this. They can just live in unicorn land. They can just live and everybody get all their nutrition from candy and rivers of chocolate. And now I'm hungry. They live in this fantasy and they never think it through based on their own ideology. Because if they were to get this through, if they just imagine for a second, for the sake of a stupid discussion, that they were to get this through, one of the first things that would come back at them today would be an AOC. Wait a minute. These people, this group over here, their parents are very wealthy. They took out a college loan, and yeah, they're now, past the age of, past the legal age. They're beyond 21. They're into their mid-20s or maybe 30s now, but their family can afford to help them. And it would be, it is never going to be enough, is the point. It is never going to be complete. The thought is never going to be thorough. It doesn't have to be on the left. They don't have to think it through. They don't have to live even by their own rules because their rules change daily.
I've got a simple thing. I'm not responsible to pay for your dream.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't go to college. I'm not paying for anybody's college. I worked my butt off. I still do. Okay, maybe not. But I did it one time. And what's mine is mine. If you want it, go get it.
Well,
and you're responsible for whatever agreement and contract you entered into voluntarily with another party, whether it's the government facilitating it or the private sector. It's not mine. That's yours. Otherwise, pay off my mortgage. Pay off my car.
If you pay for her dream, why not pay for everybody's dream?
Which is, well, the American dream, a house.
I did tell you that in our pre-show meeting, you were walking down the hallway and I said, you know, we have to have the discussion someday about people that waste $250,000 on an education that's not worth $250,000.
Exactly.
You talk about, you know, you see the people in government that have gone to these Ivy League schools.
Mm-hmm.
I had a guy I haven't seen in a long time, but he worked in business his entire life. And we used to talk economics all the time. And he went to Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we were talking about some of the Harvard graduates and some of the Ivy League graduates in the Obama administration in economics. And I said, is that what they taught you when you went to Harvard?
Right.
Right.
I said, no. He said, they don't teach economics anymore. They teach they teach liberal economic theories.
Right. Yes.
And we've talked about that before. And I'll tell you this. I believe, not that I wouldn't want, that I wouldn't want good economists that probably went to decent colleges that knew about the reality of economics, not the liberal theory of economics. But I'm telling you right now, you could run a government better with people that have been involved in the trades for the last 20 years than I believe you can with people that went to elite colleges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I would bank my life on the fact that you could run government better with the majority of people that came from the trades that went to elite colleges. And I'm talking about auto mechanics, you know, machinists, people that have involved in the real world, electricians, people that are involved in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we start talking about energy, give me a petroleum engineer and an electrician,
right,
who have been doing it for 20 years,
right.
I bet you they could come up with a better energy plan than the liberal Democrats. I bet you they could come up with a better energy plan than AOC.
And they wouldn't sit around and talk about it. They would, if they had the authority and the money and everything else and the access, they would start working on it and get it done. I mean, the whole point is that we have these insane discussions on these insane ideas that go nowhere. That's the far left today. That people are born with the right to everybody else's wealth. That because you exist and things aren't fair and life is hard, you should be getting a paycheck and somebody else should be paying your way with everything they've worked for. No. And secondly, no. It is the insanity that has been going on and ramping up for a long, long time. Gary, I said it, I don't know how many years ago, it's really not the sense of entitlement anymore. It's not that they think that they have it coming. They're just born now with, because it has been fully integrated into their very being, that it's theirs in the first place. Not that they're entitled to it. It's give me that. That's mine.
What would the cost of, think about this, because we've talked about this before. Did Mark Cuban comment on this? Mark Cuban's the one that understands the college bubble.
Right.
He's
right.
One of the ones that brought it up and said kids should not be able to take out more than $40,000 in college loans. That should be it. And the reason that should be it is, he said, watch the cost of college come down. If the amount, once you have cheap money available, and that's the thing. You know, we talk about looking at economic history. Economic history has been absolutely clear as to how economics works. How we get into a mortgage bubble, our housing bubble.
Right.
How do we get into a college bubble?
Right.
Free and easy government backing and government money.
Right.
Easy money that is backed by the government, or free money. So you're going to have a monopoly of state education systems fully and completely funded by the federal government.
Yeah, right.
So you're going to have the monopoly of the government financing it, and the monopoly of a state university system, which is able to get as much money as they want from the federal government. That's a way to control cost, isn't it?
You know, when our parents were coming into their adult years and they started their families, the idea of borrowing was new. But you talk about borrowing for a home. You knew what that was. Lender, okay. What do you do for a living? Okay, this is what you can actually afford. Borrower, to the spouse or anybody else, you know, I only do this for a living, and this is what we can afford. Both parties knew full well. It's not that hard. You take Fannie and Freddie out of the housing bubble, you take Fannie and Freddie out of that equation, it would have been, it never would have happened.
No, it would not have.
Never would have happened. The backing of the U.S. government, trying to put people into houses they had no business buying. None. And I don't care what they were doing with the house, whether they were living in it, using it as a flip property investment or whatever it was. I don't care. You either have the means to pay for it and you can qualify for it long term, or you don't get it. And if you want it, then go out and work harder. And that's the way it's always been. Nope. Not when the government decides you deserve this. Same with college. Telling the private sector, no, we'll take over the loans for college. Well, what happened? Well, years later, no, not only do we need to keep control of the loans, we need to just pay them all off.
Right.
You put money into hands with housing and college. You put money into hands where it didn't belong.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We didn't even get into discussing AOC as the mentor of this young girl.
Yeah, right.
If somebody came up to me and said, Gary, I need your opinion. There's this, I'm 17 years old, and there's this school that I got into. They'll accept me, but I'll have to take out $250,000 in loans. And I would say, are you guaranteed a 10-year, million-dollar job afterwards?
Right.
No? Well, then you don't waste your money on an education like that. The return on the investment is not there. Apparently, she told her to go.
Right. She told a girl in her teens it's okay to borrow enough money to buy a house in some neighborhoods. Not many neighborhoods these days, but still in our area, $250,000, we'll get you a house. Guess what the difference is? The house is going to be an investment. The value will likely be there and grow over years. The value of the education, it's highly unknown. If you want to get into that school, great. Know that that $250,000 debt will be impossible to repay unless on the other end you are paying in large chunks, which means you're going to have to work your butt off or have a high-paying job.
Right. I'll pay $250,000 for a college degree and take out a loan if I'm guaranteed $1 million for 10 years.
Yep. Go for it. For Travel Centers of America, here's your forecast.
Things will remain dry in the West and in the Midwest. The rains continue. Had some high water rescues over the weekend in Kansas City. Portions of Des Moines, Iowa remain flooded. Steady rain today on the Oklahoma-Arkansas border. We're going to pick up not only the greatest amount of rainfall total today, but we will see flooding continue on numerous creeks and rivers in that region. That area and eastern Texas will see heavy rain. As you move up towards the East Coast, we'll start to pick up showers from the Delmarva Peninsula into New Jersey, New York City, and on up into Boston later today. The rest of I-95 from the Carolinas down through Florida should remain dry. We're going to pick up a lot of heat this week in the Carolinas. Tacking on to yesterday's triple digits for Columbia, South Carolina, we'll hit 96 today. Greensboro, North Carolina, 91 again today under mostly sunny skies. And there's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
If they're not off the rails, they're off on a tangent. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. The other thing is, you know, when we talk about Ocasio-Cortez, and we'll play the audio again coming up here at the top of the hour, because it is our audio cut of the day. And not, look, we're not just picking a fight with AOC because she is so entertaining.
Right.
We're picking a ideological fight with her because what she is stating is wrong. Mm-hmm. Everything about it is wrong. Mm-hmm. The scenario she gives, that she was mentoring this young girl who got accepted into a great college but didn't get any scholarships, and it would cost her $250,000 in debt in order to go to this college. Well, apparently she went there.
Right.
And Ocasio-Cortez apparently told her, yes, this is the right financial decision to make. Well, that's ridiculous. The return on the investment is not there. It was the clueless leading the clueless at that particular point.
Yeah, right.
The it's just not there. And that's what life is about. Life is about, the reality of life is, can I get a return on the investment? Now, if I wish to pay $250,000 to get a great degree, and I plan on paying it back, well, then you have decided that you and your, whatever personally you'll get out of that education, that it's worth it, and it's not likely because you're going to find a job where you're going to be able to pay that off easily.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's your decision, and that's why you take out, it should be, as we've said before, a private loan.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask the question at 16 or 17, where are the parents?
Right.
Mm-hmm. In that, because I can guarantee you 1,000%. See?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to an elitist college. I can't do math.
Right.
Everybody
knows it's 1,000,000%. Hello?
I guarantee if I presented that scenario to my parents when I was 17 years old, they would still be laughing today. They would be rolling on the floor in hysteria. No, there is no turn on the investment there at all. But
right.
It's also the scenario that, because there's so many things that you can pick out of her little speech that she did, that she views this woman as a victim of the system. That somebody who can't fulfill their dream of going to their dream college and having you pay for it is somehow a victim of an oppressive society. Because it's wrong. Mm. It shouldn't happen. You should pick up the tab for her.
Right.
Really?
And this is, again, creating victims that aren't victims. Creating something. Because if you use that logic, if you use that chain of events that led to this person being in $250,000 debt because of college, then you could make the case for anybody who's in any amounts of debt that, well, when I was young, see, and now I'm in my 30s or 40s, and I've got all this debt, and I had these disadvantages. We can create disadvantages and sob stories, frankly, for anybody and everybody.
But they have.
Yes.
On debt, the credit cards, because their whole thing.
That's the point.
The credit card company rates need to be regulated to 15%.
Right.
And as you and I said, well, wait a minute. Because credit card rates have been high, and I think the average right now is 17%.
Mm.
Because credit card rates have always been higher, and I believe when I was younger they were higher than 17%. Because the interest rate was higher back then. That kind of interest rate kept me. That was a deterrent from me getting debt.
Right.
And I at that time, when I could have used the credit, when I probably could have taken advantage of the credit, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've told the story before, I had fire ants coming through the floorboard in the horrible apartment that I lived in, and cockroaches in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. Drinking all the beer.
I was drinking all the beer. And,
well, they were drinking all the beer.
Oh, cockroaches. Okay. I thought you were saying that's why I was in the. I was only in there for 6 months to save my money and got out.
Right.
Of it, but it was just the reality of my life. I wasn't a victim of anything. I was in that situation as a result of my own choices.
Yep.
And none were bad.
Right.
I mean, they weren't choices that were negative choices. They weren't because of, you know.
Where you were.
It's where I was at that particular time.
And you made the choice to be there, and that's where it was. And then you made the choice to move on, and you knew that, okay, this can't continue. Right. My 75 Dodge Dart didn't have any ants coming through the floorboard or didn't have any cockroaches in a refrigerator because it didn't have a refrigerator, but it made for a nice home for a few months.
I remember when I lived in that apartment, and it was in Marshall, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making no money in radio, and I hadn't found a second job yet. I only had the first job, and that was my whole, I need to find a second job.
Right.
Because in radio, and by the way, did you see that? The radio host
is one of the
top most stressful jobs. We'll get to that here in just a little bit.
You people need to know we're very stressed.
Oh, you need to know. Oh, just right.
You should feel sorry for us.
By the way, we kill that image. Yeah. But I remember that my brakes went in my car.
Mm.
And I didn't have the money.
Right.
Just I didn't have them, and I wasn't going to. I knew I had a credit card mm-hmm. with a $1,000 credit limit,
mm-hmm.
and I could have taken. I said I'm not going to be able to pay it back in a month.
Right.
And so I knew a guy, and I was a machinist. This is in my early years in radio. I was a machinist before that. That I probably should have stayed in, mm-hmm. But no, because it brought me here. I remember putting it up on blocks. I remember taking the discs and actually going to a machine shop. I knew a listener that I knew ran a machine shop, and I went to the machine shop and I lathed my own, you know, brake rotor. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
the rotor myself, and did it all. Did all my brakes and put them back on again. One of the proudest moments of my life. But never once did I think I was a victim of an oppressive society.
Right.
I wasn't living my dream. There's no guarantee for your dream. And I would not have wanted it any other way, even at that time. I wasn't brought up that way. We weren't brought up that way. I never looked at life as if somebody owed me something. And that came directly from my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was taught by my parents. You know, when we got into the whole race thing of white privilege, and I said, white privilege? My first job was, cleaning toilets.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't see that, but I did have one privilege, and that was parental privilege. My parents were there.
Mm-hmm.
That's because they made the decision to be there, and they made the decision not just to hand me money. And they made the decision to teach their kids that to work hard, you didn't work hard just for the sake of working hard. You didn't have a work ethic just for the sake of having a work ethic. All those things were taught because they knew that if you learn those lessons later on in life, all the lessons that they taught you, that you would be a happier person. And you and I have talked about this before when Bernie Sanders was telling the college students, you can't make it because of the billionaires. And we said, who in the world, what adult goes to kids and says you can't make it because somebody who you've never met has been an oppressor of your life? What kind of immoral individual does that? When you teach people that they're constantly victims, you're teaching them that they're not in control of their own life. And if a human being does not believe that they are in control of their own life, they are not happy. Right. I realized that all the lessons that I was taught was not about just making life tough for the sake of making life tough. They were teaching us all of those lessons because they knew that that would bring real happiness and contentment throughout your entire life, because you knew that security didn't come from somebody else. My security didn't come from government. My security didn't come from a billionaire. My security didn't come from a particular politician. My security came from the belief in myself that I only learned because I was taught it by my parents, by my schools, by my church, by my scout leaders.
Yes, right.
And believe me, for somebody like me who was a hard-head, stubborn, lazy child, I learned it. It wasn't in here just naturally. It was taught to me by all the influences in my life.
And your parents also taught you, I'm sure, like mine, that you wouldn't even get security from them.
Yes.
That you couldn't, right. You became an adult, you weren't going to rely on them. You weren't going to rely. It was going to be you. You were going to rely on you, and you were going. They would always be there for your support. But the security and what was going to be your life and creating your life was going to have to come from your work.
What they actually taught me, even though they never told me this, was not that I didn't, that I would never look to them for security, but the fact that I would want to be out, I mean financial security, but the fact that I would want to be out, that I would have a love for life and want to advance and want to climb mountains. And what they actually taught me was that it was my job as a son, because of what they had given me and taught me, just the opposite, not for them to take care of me, mm-hmm. but it's my responsibility to always ensure that my parents are okay,
right.
that it actually isn't about me. And that's the part that we talk about. You know, we talk about that I was always brought up that it's my responsibility and obligation to give back,
mm-hmm.
that the opportunity and freedom is what people fought for and died for. They didn't fight and die so I could have a guaranteed outcome. They fought so I could take advantage of freedom and liberty, and that I could go and do it because I am blessed, because I'm healthy, but also being healthy is part of what you have to do, another responsibility that you have for yourself.
Right.
So, and we've always talked about it before, I believe I have an obligation and responsibility to give back.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
A moral responsibility to give back. That's on me. It's not on the government to dictate that I do it. That's
right.
The difference.
And then decide where my money goes.
Exactly. Right. So, but these were all things that we were taught. And so one of the things we have to talk about is when we start off this conversation is AOC is a horrible mentor.
Yeah.
For giving that advice.
Well, because it is this, again, attitude, this idea that you get it because you exist. Somebody else's wealth is yours, and you should go out and pursue it, regardless of the obligation that will be yours on the other side, because they don't believe that you have the obligation. Somebody else should pay for it. So go follow your dreams and don't worry about how you're going to pay for this. That's ludicrous.
Your calls and comments coming up. We'll play the audio cut from AOC coming up again at the top of the hour. Continue with that. Plus, we've got a ton of other things to bring up today. It's so busy every day. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks, everybody, for being patient. We will get your calls and comments following the top of the hour. We only have about a minute left. So,
But
we'll play the audio cut again in case you haven't heard it from AOC talking about and you know, standing behind Bernie Sanders and his plan to get rid of all college debt and to pay for all public college 2 and 4 year and trade schools.
Right.
That the federal government would pay for, which would add an additional $200 billion a year to the federal budget.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. We're not going there for a number of reasons,
right.
But it is this insane idea that it should happen.
Right. It should happen, and it's very important to talk about because she is the spiritual leader. She is the intellectual or anti-intellectual backbone now of the Democrat Party, however you wish to look at
it.
And so the fact that she talks about the young girl who she mentored, who was 16, 17 years old, and got accepted to a major elite college, but she would have had to pay to go to college. She didn't get a scholarship, and it was $250,000 that's the problem with our education system today, and that's why you, the taxpayer, should be obligated to pay for her education. Wow.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
And we say all around the world because we podcast.
We do. You need to listen to the podcast if you miss a show or part of a show. And, you know, the easiest way to do that is with the app.
Yes.
We have our own app.
Red Eye Radio.
Yeah. So
app.
Yeah. Just go get it. It's a Google Play or the Apple Store. Go download it. It's free. Get the app. The Red Eye app.
Don't cost you nothing.
Don't cost you nothing.
So it does cost.
Yeah.
You guys threw out a double negative, then it cost me something.
Yeah, well.
No, it does not.
It does not. It
does not cost you
anything. Just cost you a few seconds, you know, maybe a little storage space on your phone. That's all.
Yeah, but who worries about that anymore?
Mm.
I mean, I have the one that gave you not the mega storage, and it's still 128 gigabytes.
I know. I added more storage, you know, with I upgraded the storage on the phone I have now, and I'm like, I go back to my first PC, and I'm thinking, my gosh, back then we were saying, you know, megabytes. Now it's terabytes.
I'm trying to think. I think my first computer had what, 16? Maybe 32?
I want to say
my first laptop?
64.
Maybe 64.
Or something.
Maybe 64. Okay.
Yeah. For you kids out there, that meant we could store like 12 or 13 emails.
When we were young, we actually had to take a telephone cord and plug it in.
And then wait for the dial up and this weird dial up sound. Who came up with that? Get Thomas Dolby on the phone, please. We need somebody who could. We need to go back and okay. If we ever get a time machine, that's one of the things we're going to correct.
Science.
Exactly. We're going to have a cool sound, like a, you know, I don't know, even like a techno beat while it's dialing up. Something. It was like weird. It was like Howard Dean or something. It was the Howard Dean dial-up modem.
I still think of my father's generation. My father, who is, you know, 93 now.
Mm.
And I think of, because he remembers. He remembers when they were putting, you know, in plumbing into the house. He was a young kid.
Yeah, right.
And they had a coal furnace.
Right, yeah.
They had an ice box.
Ice delivered every morning for the box.
Yes.
Yep.
My grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever heard my grandparents say the word refrigerator.
Right.
Even when they had a refrigerator.
Right.
It was the ice box.
Right. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because they lived with they had ice boxes. The ice man would come around every day with a block of ice.
Right.
And my father remembers all of that, and I think about everything. And when he was a kid, because he would have been a kid then in the 30s, and you just,
You didn't have, I mean, you just think of...
That was life. That's how, it wasn't even survival mode. That actually was the good life.
Oh, good. Then I'll have to ask my dad, then, you know, with the life my dad has led. Dad, if I had come to you at 17 years of age and said that Harvard had accepted me, but it would cost me $250,000 in debt, what would your suggestion been?
Right.
With the experiences, Dad, that you have in life?
Yeah. Because, you know, what I think about is, like, when you lose power, it doesn't happen often, you lose power, and especially, you know, you're thinking about, like, the food in the fridge, right? If you think the power's going to be out for a long, long time, the food in the fridge. First thing you want to do, right, is go preserve whatever you can. The frozen stuff may not survive, but you can, a lot of the refrigerated stuff, what do? Well, you grab a bunch of ice, you put it in a huge cooler, and then you keep it fresh as long as you need to. That was just called Tuesday back then.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
All right, I want to play the audio cut again from AOC.
All right.
Who was supporting Bernie Sanders and his plan to pay off all college debt and to ensure that four-year and two-year college and trade schools, all free for everybody, roughly would, again, tax Wall Street. By the way, I saw it yesterday. Did you see how many times it appeared on social media?
Yeah.
Did right. You saw it? You know what okay. You know what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. This scares me now.
Here we go.
Wall Street got their bailout. Where's mine?
There you go. We've been saying it, and we've been hearing it since, since the crash, since 2009, people were saying it. Wall Street got theirs, and it's never, it's never going to be, it's never going to fall on a negative in terms of the people listening, the people paying attention, unless they are conservatives, unless they are active conservatives, because you have to tear that down. You have to say, okay, what is it that happened? What is it that, you know, happened then? By the way, should it have happened? All of these things. But people don't hear that. The jealousy and envy instead reigns in their mind and leads their thoughts. And yeah, those big rich people there on Wall Street, they should be paying me now. They got theirs. I want to get mine. And that's exactly how you create that jealousy and envy. It's Bernie's doing it. AOC does it. They all do it on the far left. And they've been doing it for ages.
Well, you can't win the argument with us because we were against the Wall Street bailouts.
Right.
And if you want to compare it to the banks, well, then, okay, then the government will force money on you that you have to take,
right.
But then you have to pay it back.
Right, exactly.
If you're going to make the comparison of the banks
right.
getting bailed out
yeah,
during
right.
2008, 2009,
mm-hmm.
well, then you have to understand that every bank was forced to take the money and then pay it back.
Right.
But I want to play this where she shares her story about why we should pay for everybody's education and bail everyone who has a college loan out, even if they're successfully making payments in their life. Here it is.
I think so much about this moment when I was in college. And I was mentoring this girl, this young woman. Her name was Andrea. She was about 3 or 4 years younger than me. But I was about 19 years old, and she was in high school. And she had gotten into all of these prestigious universities. But she was given no student loan assistance, no real student. She was given no scholarships. All of her student aid was presented to her in the form of loans. And she came from a solid middle class family. She was not exceedingly wealthy. And so she got into her dream college, but her dream college offered her no scholarships, just loans. And she truly felt, at 16, 17 years old, she felt that the decision of college was so important that she felt that she needed to consider taking on $250,000 worth of debt to go to college. And she's 17 years old, and here I am calling her from my dormitory, a 19-year-old consulting a 17-year-old about a $250,000 loan debt situation. And I think that in and of itself illustrates the absurdity of our education financing system.
No, that illustrates the absurdity of a 19-year-old believing she knows the financials, especially to the extent of borrowing $250,000 and then advising a 15-year-old on it. I think that's the absurdity it shows. That's just me. I could be wrong, but I'm not.
All right, let's get to your calls and comments. 866-90-RUD-EYE. Let's head to you. We go to Frederick in San Diego, California. Frederick, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. All right, where do I start? Well, I'll just do 2 points because I don't want to take up too much of your time. So first of all, about this whole loan forgiveness thing, I had to work 3 jobs and put myself through college. I had to clean toilets, you know, as a matter of fact, as well. But I made it. So that was me. And then how about the parents who manage their money wisely, who saved for their kids and paid for their school in full? So now all of a sudden they just go and forgive, you know, loans to somebody who partied through the school, who didn't work, who got this worthless degree in some French literature or something. You know, so you would just pay their loan off and say, you know what, you're good, free and clear. So how fair is it? You know, it's just a question of common sense and fairness. Is it fair to somebody who is responsible and working versus somebody who is not? So that's about that.
Well, no, I agree with you. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
Yeah. So number two, I'm sorry. So regarding the AOC, I mean, you are right on it. It's absurd. First of all, I'm glad she told the story, but she just kind of tells us how incompetent she is. And anything that she says, you should do the opposite, whether it's a loan advice or whether it's Amazon headquarters. You know, so I actually am glad she told the story. I'm sure that girl's life is not ruined. Now, where are the counselors for that school? Like, who would advise, you know, a 17-year-old to take on that degree with that much loan?
Yeah,
number
right.
one. Number
right.
two, where are, you know, like somebody, this school should probably audit it because they take advantage of these kids. So it's not really the government that should write off the loans. It says these schools should be audited and maybe pay their money back, you know, because they're abusing the system. They're abusing the system for these kids. They're abusing the loan system, too. So, and then where are the girl's parents? Why is it AOC advising her, you know, instead of her middle-class parents, you know, who, you know, are obviously she qualified for the loan. She wasn't given grants. She wasn't poor. So she did have parents around. And as a minor, 17-year-old, I don't think she can even legally sign a contract. You have to be adult to sign a contract with the federal government. So I'm not sure. There should be some fact-checking in that story because something doesn't add up.
That's a good point.
That's what I wanted to kind of bring up.
Thanks.
Yeah, and thank you, Frederick. I mean, we don't know at what point she signed the contract. I mean, we don't know where, you know, where that agreement began or, you know, who all was involved. But certainly you make the point on the fact that the, and we've talked about this before, who is it that's sitting across from you? Because with the whole Occupy thing, it was, you know, we were lied to. We were lied to. Well, who lied to you? Who lied to you in that situation, in that lending agreement situation, that said to you, you were going to be making enough money to service this loan without any concern on the other side when you graduate, when you go out into the world? If there were recruiters at the door going in and they said, finish your degree and we'll have a job waiting for you, well, that would be your go-to. If it was somebody in the admissions office at that university that was saying, you will have no problem servicing this loan, then that would be the person to go to. That would be the office to go to. Who is it that told you? Well, as far as we know, and we have to take her at her word, it was a 19-year-old who has no business giving advice to anybody on anything, especially a loan of $250,000.
Well, at 19, I was a bill collector, and I think I could have given
her... You could have done it.
I could have given her the right advice. I started as a bill collector at 18, mm-hmm. so I would have been in my second year of bill collecting, mm-hmm. and with, I'll tell you this, with a week of bill collecting experience, or 2 weeks, or a month, it probably made me more qualified than Ocasio-Cortez, because at that point you saw
that unique, that very unique experience was something, and it also was something that I think a lot of people grew up with. Ocasio-Cortez? No.
No.
She wasn't qualified at all. How dare you mentor someone and tell them and steer them into a $250,000 debt load? Shame on you.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on summer driving. During the summer, one of a driver's best friends is a tire gauge. Proper tire pressure is essential for the long-term health of your tires and the safety of your vehicle. But it's even more important during the summer. Tire pressure can fluctuate 1 to 2 pounds per square inch for every 10 degrees the temperature rises. As a best practice, use a gauge to check tire pressure when it's cold, and check that the tire remains inflated by thumping it when parked during the day. If your tires are set to the correct cold pressure, you're in good shape for any potential rise in temperature. Still, check your pressure regularly throughout the day. Tread depth also matters. If your tread depth sinks below 2/32 of an inch for non-steer tires and below 4/32 for steer tires, it's time to replace them. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Zeke in Iowa. Zeke, as we talk about AOC and her explanation on why all college should be free and why we should forgive all loans. Hi, Zeke. You're on Red Eye Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, you asked who lied to these kids, and the problem is they spend 12 years in a public education system that tells them they have to go to college like to succeed at life, and the biggest person that she's a victim of is her parents for not telling her that they don't need to do that.
Well, again, I come from a family where my dad said you go to college and you learn a trade. You'd be good at two or three or four different things. And so college was always in my family, was a necessity, not in an elite college where you put out loans. But he said but he wanted a technical degree, too.
Right,
I mean, my father was pushing engineering.
Yep.
Which I got my two-year degree in, four-year degree separate, but he was pushing both. And he was pushing you need to learn a trade, and you need to be good at sales. But that was my dad's philosophy to me back in 1969.
It was a CYA thing, but you're right. I mean, there is this push, Zeke, obviously, in the public school system that, you know, college really is the only option. I think that's the way to phrase it.
And it isn't.
It is not.
No.
And then the thing is like, I know when I was 18, I went to college and I went to community college and I went to the 4-year. I tried to do the cheap route, and now I work in a factory and I love what I do, right? And it helps me pay for my family. But what I got, like 10 years left on my student loans. When I get those paid off, I'm done.
Yeah.
But if the government starts paying for all the student loans, I'm going to pay them on student loans for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I mean, I got 4 kids and a wife that stay at home. I can't afford pre college.
Right.
You know,
I can't afford
that. It's just like free Medicare. I mean, if I pay off the last of my, I just had a son. When I pay off the last of his, you know, medical bills, I'm done. But if we do, you know, government Medicare, I'm paying on that for the rest of my life. I'm paying everybody's kid off.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Great point, Zeke.
I just can't afford it.
Right. You're right, Zeke. Because that's it, and that's what it comes down to. They always say they start with the rich and the large corporations are going to pay for it, and that they can pay for it. And that's bogus. That's a flat-out lie.
Oh, yeah.
And it means that it's going to fall on the middle class. Great.
Well,
if you want to pay $9 a gallon for gasoline, you go pay $9 a gallon, and this is the way it'll work. You turn in your Freedom Card, and thank you, Zeke. You turn in your Freedom Card. You get no liberties. Here we go again. I'm going to start that.
You start the Freedom Card again?
Relaunching the Freedom Card. By the way, not associated with the Freedom Chase Card, which is an actual card and program through the Chase Bank, just to let everybody know. The Freedom Card, you can turn it in, and you can give away your liberties, and then that will mean that when you pay at the pump that, oh, wait a minute, no, no, you want the free medical care, which is not free. It's $9 a gallon for you. I'm going to pay the $2 a gallon. Thank you.
Yes, Eric came up with the Freedom Card during the Obama administration. That there should be, okay, let's give people the choice that everybody gets a Freedom Card. If you wish to turn it in, then you can live under the socialist system.
Yes.
But those under the Freedom Card do not have to live under that system.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Wait a minute. Your Freedom Card came first, didn't it?
I think, before the credit card? I think Chase was ahead of me.
Chase had the copyright on it?
Exactly. This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Never stops. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. You can, again, we talked about it earlier. You can podcast the show if you miss it. You can go back and listen to the show. Get the Red Eye app. That's all you have to do. Go to Google Play, the Apple Store, download the app, and please listen on a regular basis. You can listen through the app. You can listen live. You can also go back and listen to, you know, the show that you missed. The podcasts are available for you there. And make sure you also, if you're in the trucking industry or have any interest in the trucking industry, make sure that you check out the Extra Mile. We're spending some time with the folks from the trucking industry covering a number of issues, from ELDs to truck shows and trade shows to all types of regulatory items and everything else. So it's very busy. Trucking industry is always the Extra Mile. We love covering, and a great response, by the way, from the trucking industry. We love covering all that stuff. So make sure you do that. You can download the Extra Mile podcast. More information at redeyeradioshow.com.
Yeah, and we talk about the app a lot because of what many of our listeners have told us over the years, that, hey, you guys should be on during the day.
Mm-hmm.
We are. We're there for your convenience.
Yeah.
You can listen if you can't listen now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many letters we've gotten over the years, because you and I, in less than a month, it'll be together 14 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Red Eye, what is it, seven and a half years
now.
Seven and a half years, yep. And then before that we worked together on a couple of other shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so for years we would get this.
Right.
Before they got really good with apps.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Before the technology was there, right, and it has become so simple, and people would say, I'll going on days, I'm not going to be able to ever listen to you guys anymore, and well, now you can't.
Yep.
So,
yep.
It's in part,
and you can take it with you. You know, it also used to be that we had been podcasting the show and posting the show for a long, long time, and you can still go to our website. You know, if you don't have the app, but the app makes it so much easier. You know, because I remember when the smartphones came around, it was like, okay, and now it's like this. Well, it is. It's a tiny computer in your hand, and we use it for everything. I was just telling you the other day, I don't remember the last time I opened my laptop for something, because that used to be our go-to during our show prep at home. That would be, of course, with mm-hmm. like with a lot of people. But you and I can be, and people that do what we do, and if you're on the go a lot, you're efficient with your phone, and that's the case for most people that are, you know, that are productive members of society. I'm not going to put myself in that class of productive member of society, but certainly for the work that we do, it's amazing how far the technology has come and what you can do through a ton of apps but ours will allow you to listen while you're doing other things, and you just have your phone with you, maybe a cool Bluetooth speaker, or maybe, you know, we were talking about something that our phone's off the air. The speakers that are on the newer phones, the newer generation of phones, you know, I mean, they're really great. I have my Bose Bluetooth speaker that I keep with me for a number of things, but it's amazing how far the technology has come on the phones with speakers, cameras, and everything else.
I have the Bose stereo Bluetooth speakers,
yeah.
The cones,
right.
The large ones.
Yeah,
I got an Amazon deal when they first came out. They were still expensive, but my phone and those replace all the components that I had 30 years ago in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Remember all the components?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds better.
Sure. Right.
But yeah, we mentioned the app because, you know, so many of our listeners have asked about it. And we mentioned the app so we can become filthy millionaires and ensure that our grandchildren can go to those elitist schools and take out $250,000 loans.
And make
we will end up paying off for them.
Yeah, that's right. Right now, we're just filthy thousandaires. We want to boost that status. Please.
866-90-RED-EYE. Let's head to you, and we go to, let me see, Gino in St. Louis. Gino, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Your show is pretty interesting. You guys definitely go through a lot of topics. I was raised in a lot of the same way that you guys were, but I'm pretty young. I'm in my fifth year of college now, so a lot of this is really relevant to me. To get to what I want to talk about, the deal to me, I mean, I don't think Tortillas is wrong, I believe, but for me, gambling on the job market and taking $250,000 in debt and gambling on myself is better than stocks or slots, because then I could potentially get my dream job. I mean, if I don't take that deal, then I maybe never get a job that I really enjoy or that gets me big money, you know?
Yeah, I would say it's less of a gamble when you're relying on yourself and you have the drive. If you understand what it takes along the way, if you understand that, you understand that it does take time to gain the experience. It certainly takes time to gain the education, and I don't mean a formal education necessarily. You've got to gain, whether it's training, apprenticeship, or just that experience on the job where you gain that education, it's going to take that time. You're not going to walk in. You're not going to be the CEO or owner of the company right away. That your life experience will get to the point of, you know, if that's what you want to do, be the owner of the company, you can build that roadmap. It is quite possible. It is not without a ton of challenges along the way, but it is possible.
Well, no, when you look at it, you can still go to a state university, a public university. You can still go to 2-year college and then a 2-year college for engineering.
Sure.
And then get your degree at a state university. And you don't have to pay an arm and a leg. You're still, you know, may get some debt on it, but there are when you hear that all degrees are useless, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it came out. I just saw the list the other day. I think the top 10 jobs out of a 4-year degree, the top paying are all engineering.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe in the top 10, I didn't look at the list completely, but I think maybe a pharmacist was in it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
for me, the quality of life increase. I chose accounting myself, so all this stuff is very interesting to me, and it's really helpful to listen to you guys. I think your viewpoints are really conservative, and I think a lot of the days and viewpoints of my peers are liberal.
Mm.
And I guess the question that I want to leave you guys with, and I don't want to take up too much time, is we determine that infrastructure and stop signs and roads are worth it to society, and we pay taxes for that, and we agree to that social contract. And I think Cortez is wrong. I don't think we should be giving, you know, loans out. I mean, you know, freeing loans. But what is education worth it to society? And so, like, when I look through history, you know, Napoleon with his lycees and all these things, obviously it's gained us great boon. But, you know, I don't know. If the government could pay for everything all the time, that'd be great.
Well, it's like capitalism. In capitalism, is the expansion of wealth beneficial to society? Of course, it runs. It funds everything. It funds the roads. It funds the stop signs. It funds the charities. It funds everything. It funds the government and all of those necessary roles. The government can stand to the side and through deregulation, and I'm not talking about complete unfettered deregulation, but through limited hands-on, the you can nurture the environment in a capitalist society for that expansion of wealth. And the same is true for education. We should become more proactive as a society in educating the children about their choices as to how it's going to be. And we need to be very blunt and honest along the way.
Well, understand that we are the opposite of anti-education. And some on the left may say, well, you guys don't want people to be educated. No, we want what is the best way to educate the population.
Yes. Yes.
And the best way is not to have government monopolies running education with a monopoly of the government financing education.
Right.
Because what you get, and you've seen it, Mark Cuban talked about the college bubble and said the reason college is so expensive is because there's free money. Go look at the housing bubble back from 2008, 2009. It was predicted to happen. Look, even now, under the Trump administration, the Wall Street Journal had the article that the Treasury Department is doing the same thing again, making home ownership easy for everyone. It sounds great. Education for everybody, a home for everybody, by the government guaranteeing it and making it the money easy, but all you do is raise the cost of it because there is no accountability in the education system to provide it. If you're telling me that for a four-year education, for an average topic, cost would put you in to $100,000 or $200,000 in debt, that means those colleges are not running efficiently.
And,
I'm sorry.
And, and Gino, it assumes, and I do believe an educated society benefits a society, but it also assumes that that education necessarily comes from a college system, a public or private college system. And it also, you know, assumes that along the way that the people, even the people that attend those colleges and that system, are actually being educated. So it goes back to the definition of education.
Well, let me...
I would definitely agree. One last thing.
Oh, go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just with that point, I do agree, I'll let you guys go on after this, and I'll take my leave. I do agree the market is saturated because of competition, and now you like need a degree to get hired, and the value of education is declining based on the jobs that we have available to us. And I don't know where that's going to end up. Hopefully we can go into space and get really, really complicated jobs. But to really hone in on what you guys are talking about, I don't know. For me, I would prefer a bigger government, whatever. You know, I know the issue is 1984, but I already have all my data out there anyway. Facebook's sitting here, you know, reading everything about... What do I care at this point?
But you choose to do that. I don't.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And if you want to put that out there, great. The government has no business in it. Because it is false to believe that you can have a big government there as a support system but not have an intrusive government. They are one and the same, and they always will be.
Oh, no, it would be really intrusive for sure. It's just we're used to it.
It's not just about some of that information, the pictures and your information you post on social. It goes then to the NSA scandal and everything else that the government has the power to do in terms of monitoring you. And we're not paranoid on this show. We just we talk about what could happen potentially, and it's already been demonstrated in real life.
No, for sure. It's just with the internet, you can't hide anymore. You know, it's like you have to go off grid to be able to have all your privacy.
But again, you choose to do that. That's your behavior, and you choose to do that. And thank you, Gino. We appreciate the call, but that's your choice to do that.
Look, a bigger government. Nobody wants to pay for the government that we currently have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can't afford the government that we currently have. Mm-hmm. People don't wish to pay for it.
Right.
Bernie Sanders doesn't wish to pay for it.
No.
The Democrats don't wish to pay for it.
Nope.
They want to put it on future generations. So if you want, let's talk about the morality. Mm-hmm. And thanks so much. You know, give us a call another time.
Yeah, conversation.
Because I love your response. You just don't have time, but I love your response to this. Mm-hmm. We can't afford it. We're saying a bigger government, and we put what we want today on the backs of our children and grandchildren.
Right.
Let's talk the morality of that and what we're currently doing. And the Democrats want a bigger government.
Right.
And you believe that we should have a bigger government, yet we cannot pay for what we do today. And we're putting it on people that are not represented.
Right.
You want tyranny. To me, that's tyranny. We get what we want today and we put it on people that aren't alive yet because we have found a way. By the way, what was one of the founding concepts of this country? Taxation without representation. You're taking my money and I was never represented. I didn't get a vote in it.
Right.
In the Republic, I didn't get a vote. I didn't get to elect the representative. And what do we have now? We found the loophole. We'll tax people that aren't alive yet. We'll put the debt on them. We found the loophole away from taxation without representation. Those are still big deals for us. The founding of this country and why the country was founded is still a big deal to us.
It's still a clear and present danger, and it will be a bigger danger as days go on.
The one thing that Gino said, he said, well, you know, we've been living in it so long. Well, that's the problem. You haven't been taught right, so maybe that part of the education is useless.
Exactly.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, I'm sure we'll get to more of your calls and comments about AOC's speech yesterday.
Right.
Breaking news over the last couple of hours. Iran says the latest U.S. sanctions ends the channel of diplomacy forever.
Right. Remember, during the Obama years, they were shouting death to America. So this is progress. We're not going to talk is, I think, a little bit different than death to America.
All right, so we're improving.
Yeah, under Trump, the relationship, I think, technically is improving. Yeah.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Wait a minute, I got to find the... I just remembered, as we're coming on the air, I got to do this story, or I'll forget to do it.
All right.
I will forget to do it if I don't do it now. It was at the story. Here it is.
Yeah.
The most stressful jobs in America. You ready?
Okay.
Radio host and newspaper reporter rank among the 10 most stressful jobs in America. Number 5 for us. We're more stressful than a newspaper reporter. They're number 7.
Yeah.
Now, enlisted military personnel number 1, firefighter number 2, airline pilot number 3, police officer number 4, broadcaster number 5. I got to say, though,
we're radio host and broadcaster, so.
Yes. Yeah. But
we're both.
But airline pilots, they always seem so relaxed and calm. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you.
Yeah. This is your captain speaking.
We're about 30,000 feet in the air, and both wings have just disappeared.
That's right.
Don't worry.
Prepare for landing.
Cocktails are free.
Flight attendants, prepare for landing. I'm Captain Ron Wilson. My co-pilot is a thermos of coffee, and we should be there in about 2 hours.
Broadcaster radio host number 5, event coordinator number 6.
I would, okay, yeah. I've I've coordinated a number of events over the years, you know, having such a big family, and it was just, you know, family events. If I had to do that for a living.
Professionally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, I couldn't do that.
So then newspaper reporter number 7.
Mm-hmm.
Public relations executive number 8. Senior corporate executive number 9. Taxi driver number 10.
Yeah, for a number of reasons. Number 1, Uber. And number 2,
well,
it's like Uber, but because you don't know who your fare is going to be or how they're going to, you know, what kind of condition they're going to be and how they're going to talk to you, or treat you, or any of that.
Now, is newspaper reporter because of the industry?
Right.
Because
right.
of the layoffs?
Mm. Right.
You know, now, radio host.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on here. I need to take a sip of the coffee to control my stress here.
Right. Yeah, because we need to calm down. We have too much stress. Not as much stress as our production staff. Not nearly as much stress. Well, they have to work with us.
According to this survey, I'm a victim.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
I'm a big-time victim.
Right. Yeah.
I've got victimization written all over me.
Yep.
I'm a victim of the oppressive radio broadcasting industry. This company oppresses me.
Yeah, wait, right.
Hold it. Let me rethink that.
Yeah, let's not.
Hold
yeah.
it. Let me rethink that. They hired me and said, say whatever you want.
Yeah. Go do it. If you guys know seriously how easy it is working for this company, at least in what we do.
It really is. Yes, it really is.
And they have been very patient with us. They love our show. Our show, as they call it, Where's Doug? And... the founder of Red Eye Radio, Doug yes. McIntyre. But the idea of being able to do that, but then beyond that, you know, what people, I guess, may not know is that our great program directors and station managers that run all the great stations that we're on, and mm-hmm. okay, the list is like a dream list of anybody who was ever in radio. For just to work at one, just to have a show
yeah, right.
on one of those, just yep. to be, you know, just to get in on a, maybe even on a part-time basis or something, would be this tremendous blessing. And we're every night we're on hundreds of stations. But what we strive to do is make sure that those program directors and managers don't get a wake-up call at 3 a.m. going, okay, Brian says Eric and Gary did it again. He says you'll know what that means, and you need to come down to the station. We never want to get to the point of, we want to make sure that the programming is up to the standards. Sorry. Up to the that we don't give them a wake-up call. we strive
now,
to make sure. We strive, we really work hard to make sure that... The programming that's on in the middle of the night is not something they have to worry
this
about.
This business is simple.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get people to listen? Can you make money? And will I lose my FCC license?
All right. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
So if you can do that. No, but we actually work so people know, because when things like this come out, I will get people who ask me, so it's got to be really stressful.
Yeah.
At times in the business it has been, but
mm-hmm, sure.
not... You know, not now. I mean, this is right. the most one. You and I talk about this off the air all the time, because when you realize, and I will say this, even in the times of your life when, you know, in this long, because this is my 30th year in talk, and heading into my 37th in radio overall, and it's the best it's ever been. I mean, this
right.
is I've never been in a situation like this. But when you come to the realization, especially when you start in talk radio, because music radio is completely different ballgame. You know, you're in a very, very formatted, you know, concise in most of the jobs in that industry. Music is what you're also doing. In talk radio, they hire you for you.
Right.
And that's the difference. They hire you for you. I want to hire you. Oh. And what do? Well, we have all this airtime talk in between the commercials. And when you realize the... And it's not something you do for a while because you're just happy you got a job. Somebody hired me. But when you look back on it and you think, oh, my God, this company just hired me and said, we want you and your personality and your ideas and what you think. That's what we want to make us money. And we'll put you on the biggest radio stations, the most legendary radio stations in the entire country. And then at the end of the week, you'll get a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding me. I mean, there's nothing for us except appreciation. So that's the most wonderful thing right now. I'll never forget my nephew asked me a few years ago. He said, Uncle Gary, does it suck getting old?
Mm-hmm.
And I went, no. He said, yeah, but you can't play basketball as well as you used to be able to play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand the mind is completely different at my age than what you're thinking right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you get is you become a result of all of your experiences.
Right.
And you can take all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you've done something... When you've done something a million times.
Yeah, right.
The repetition of it makes it so it's just a part of you.
Right.
It becomes easier to do it every day. It mm-hmm. becomes easier mm-hmm. to organize a show and get on and do a show. There are just things that you learn that some people, maybe a minority of people, have it where they can just open up a microphone and boom, they had it from day one.
Right, sure.
I don't think that's the majority of people. The majority of people, it takes years and years and years. And then when it becomes second nature and you realize it's become second nature, there's this great joy that you don't even think that you're on the radio anymore. And you and I talk about this all the time. We don't even think about we're on the radio. People come up to us and say, hey, I heard your show. Oh, that's right. I'm on the radio. It's almost as if you and I just come in and do a discussion every night, and a few people at the bar wish to join in, and there's no alcohol. Well, at least on our end, there's no alcohol being thrown
as you
about.
Know, yeah, there's no alcohol on our end.
And so for us, it's the most wonderful thing. So when you see the things like this list that radio host, one of the most stressful jobs in America. I can understand for some people in this in industry, but it's always been. It's very competitive and
you just hit on something, and it's kind of like maybe newspaper reporter or a number of industries where there's always
turnover.
I hang out with a bunch of great guys that I've known since I was a kid, and we went to school together from our very young years, and today still every day we're communicating on a group text, and that group text has been going on for years with these individuals. I remember a few years ago sitting with one of them, James, and I was talking about, you know, he's like, so how's it going? I was like, good. And he goes, dude, said, well, that's the job. Oh, great. Coming up on, contract renewal. You know, I said, you know, it's kind of, you know, a little bit nerve-wracking. It wasn't, you know, really to the large extent, but I said, you know, a little bit nerve-wracking, because there's that uncertainty. And he's, at that time, was an executive at Dell. He's moved to another company. He was there for a long time. And he looked at me and he goes, where is that not the case? And I was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to eat my steak here. Thanks, James. I appreciate that. But it's
You didn't scream at him and say, how do you know? You don't know what my life is like. I'm a victim.
Yeah, well, it's that radio thing they've been telling us, since, I don't know, video killed the radio star. Yeah, well, teen pregnancy shows killed MTV, so I don't know what to tell you. It killed the video. I don't know what to tell you about that. And radio is still very much alive and strong. But the point is that I could see that with a lot of people in any given industry where you worry about, you know, a number of things, whether it's the long-term viability of an industry or the fact that that job can be, you know, at times stressful. You and I have, I guess, gotten to the point where we're very blessed that we do something that we love. And every day I would be engaging in the same discussions, whether I was on the air or not. So
same with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd be calling somebody. I don't care. I would just be having the, and I do. I have those conversations with people outside the show that I'm close to, and we talk about those things, and they're always great. But I think the discussions, like we had with Gino last hour, a young caller, yeah, very patient and willing to listen, and we've talked about this. We heard from another one at the end of, or right after the 2016 election, a young liberal Democrat, he described himself as, and he goes, you know, I just don't know where, you know, my party is going. And that goes back to November of 2016 when he said that. And I would love to talk to him, but he was very patient. We had a great discussion with him then, great discussion with Gino tonight. And the point is that the discussions on the ideas, that's where Gino was. Gino didn't call in and, you know, bash this, bash that, stop this and stop that. It wasn't, there was no idolatry, there was no there was no expectation except for talking the ideas.
And he wanted to pick our brains.
Right.
Which is fine.
And that's always great. You know, and it will be a learning. We talked about learning and education and everything else. I told someone very close to me recently, you know, and they're younger than me. And I said, I'm learning from you. Put out a few things. This is what I've learned from you. We should always be learning. And that goes back to this education thing, and is a college degree right, worth it? And it doesn't matter whether you get a formal education, whether you get your doctorate, or whether you go out, you should always have that mind where you're learning something every day. And it doesn't matter what age you're at, because that's a beautiful thing, to discover something that you didn't know before.
Well, when we had that one caller last hour, when we were having the discussion on AOC and her talking about mentoring the young woman who got a $250,000 in debt in order to go to college. And we talked to the one gentleman who said, you know, he got his degree, but he's doing something completely different. He's working in a factory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that happened to me. And I worked during college, which, by the way, was the best thing ever, because you learn to organize time. But then after college, and that would have been 1978, I went into radio for 6 months and I couldn't make it.
Right.
And then for the next really 5 years until 83, I was working in a plant.
Mm.
And I was making more than all of my college friends. And that was back in the 1980s. That was back right, the late 70s, early 1980s, where I was making more. So, and at that time, I got back into radio at 83. But at that time, even 78, automation was going to kill radio.
Yes.
That was the thing. Automation right, was going to kill. That was, mm-hmm, that would have been 79 or 78, 41 years ago.
Right.
Radio was dead.
Right.
And so, again, you don't know. And you don't know where you're ever going to end up. And my dad, when I would have discussions with my dad said, look, I want you to be an engineer, and told you to be an engineer because I knew it would be secure.
Right.
But, you know, and you did things in engineering and you could have been an engineer, but you decided to take a different path. He said, but you were willing to work at it. But when I got in 83, I haven't been out since. And when I got in 83, I'll never forget. it was like, this is the most insecure business ever. There is no more, as people say, there's no more insecure business. There is no security. And I've never been unemployed since 83.
Right.
And it's like, how did that happen?
Well,
people will now say, well, it's because you have a lot of talent. I sucked back then.
Yeah.
There's nobody with worse air checks, as they call them, early on in radio than me. Nobody.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think I entered puberty till I was 28. My voice was so high.
Yeah, I'm still working on that.
If you saw, remember Howard Stern in Private yeah, Parts from his first radio job when he was talking like this?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I went, why is he imitating me?
Right. Well, I was a mimic. So in my first job, I was just imitating DJs.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you really?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, well, if I want to stay at this job, I just need to imitate a DJ, and then the whole fake it till you make it,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I'm not faking it these days.
No fake.
As far as you know.
We're too old to fake.
Yeah, right.
And exactly. Now that's our deep voice guy.
I don't have enough energy to fake it.
Eric and Gary, too old to fake.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. There's the headline, Wall Street Journal: Trump imposes sanctions on Iran's supreme leader and others. And then looking at the Fox News headline, Iran says latest U.S. sanctions ends the channel of diplomacy forever. We'll get into some of that discussion on that. Still some folks wanting to talk about AOC. Endorsing Bernie Sanders' $1.6 trillion immediate plan to wipe out all college debt and then spend $200 billion a year over the next 10 years to finance all college education at public universities, 2- and 4-year and trade school. We'll get to that and more on the way.
Here's your forecast.
Things will remain dry in the West and in the Midwest. The rains continue. Had some high water rescues over the weekend in Kansas City. Portions of Des Moines, Iowa remain flooded. Steady rain today on the Oklahoma-Arkansas border. We're going to pick up not only the greatest amount of rainfall total today, but we will see flooding continue on numerous creeks and rivers in that region. That area and eastern Texas will see heavy rain. As you move up towards the East Coast, we'll start to pick up showers from the Delmarva Peninsula into New Jersey, New York City, and on up into Boston later today. The rest of I-95 from the Carolinas down through Florida should remain dry. We're going to pick up a lot of heat this week in the Carolinas. Tacking on to yesterday's triple digits for Columbia, South Carolina, we'll hit 96 today. Greensboro, North Carolina, 91 again today under mostly sunny skies. And there's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
DPF is cleaned. Their DEF is in the SCR. Their ELDs are up to date, but their CDLs are expired. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary. 866-90 Red Eye. Well, with all those three letters there, you forgot AOC. got to answer a couple of emails here. Here's one from Gary. Why does AOC get so much attention from both the left and right? She's a newbie and barely won her election. What makes everyone want to ask her opinion and see what she has to say on the issues? When I was in my first job, no one listened to me because my job was to learn. I don't get it.
Right.
Well, don't put the right in with the left on this one. Now, I can't tell you why the leftist media, I can give you some theories as to why the leftist media anointed her. The Democrat Party and liberals always look for the next savior. Mm-hmm. They look for the next rock star. It was the leftist media before she even won her congressional seat that were doing major interviews with her.
Yep.
We simply responded. The right did not anoint Ocasio-Cortez. It was the left. Mm-hmm. The right responds to the stories that she does on major media, but it is the leftist media that gave her a huge platform and then anointed her the rock star and the example of the, or not just an example, but the leader of the leftist wing of the Democrat Party that was gaining influence. This all came from the left. It didn't come from the right.
Yeah. Look, we comment on the news. The leftist media made her the news.
Yes.
That's how it works.
To the point where then, especially after the Green New Deal, that the mainstream media anointed her as this intellectual,
as somebody who is bold.
Right.
Remember that? The word?
Right.
But she's bold. And that was same being said because anybody who has any, you know, education at all looked at the Green New Deal and went, well, she's promoting socialism, communism in our society. It's ridiculous. And the assumptions she makes about science and everything else are just absurd. And you realize that it was like a seventh grader putting together a science report.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sorry that I insulted seventh graders like that, but
that's
the first thing that popped into my mind.
Right.
My deepest apologies. Mm-hmm. But it was the left that anointed her to the point that when we say that she is the leader of the Democrat Party, that's because they all want her approval. This is from the left. This has got nothing to do with the right. The right may be responding to her, and now that she has been anointed by the left, the right, and we view it as an obligation to view what is the mindset that is coming out of the Democrat Party right now.
Yes, and you know, it's the refusal to address her by the left. So what do they do? What does the left do? Why do you guys give her so much attention? Why are you guys afraid of her getting so much attention?
Right.
Because if you thought she was thoughtful, if you thought she was right in making a lot of great points, then you wouldn't have any problem with it.
Here it is right here. House Democratic leaders scrambled Monday night to rally support for their border funding bill. This from thehill.com. Mm. Amid a liberal outcry over the Trump administration's treatment of migrant children and questions over whether Democrats' proposals would do enough to protect them. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, in impassioned remarks, summarized the liberal opposition to the House legislation.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. Her name appears everywhere.
Yep. And if you agree with her, go out and support her. Support those ideas. You know, remember the Green New Deal, and you had all of the major, at that time, I think there were only 20 candidates. You know, you had a number of the major candidates that jumped on board in support of the Green New Deal. But they don't have to go very far with it. If you really support her in her ideas and her promotion, how she promotes her ideas, you wouldn't have a problem at all with the right media and the talk show hosts bringing it up. In fact,
well,
you would be supporting it and promoting the same way she does.
Well, Gary, I believe, is more of a conservative he said, but initially what we got, mm-hmm. and we don't get it anymore, mm-hmm. was the left asking us this question. Why are you guys talking about her? And they were asking that question because they were embarrassed by her.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was callers to our show and people that would write us, you guys keep talking about AOC. She's a nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell that to MSNBC and CNN
mm-hmm.
and to the Democrat Party, because when we said they are anointing her as a new rock star, and they hadn't yet, but we saw it coming. We were right. Mm-hmm. They did.
And we know there are a lot of people, actually I have some friends in our industry that have said it to me off the air. You know, man, I'm so tired of covering AOC. Well, you know, you can choose to do it or not. And we have conservative listeners that, man, I'm so tired of hearing what she says. It's really not about her. It's the ideas she's promoting.
Oh, got nothing to do
with it. Tearing down the ideas. The people come and go. The ideas remain.
Right.
And these ridiculous ideas are flawed at the very fundamental level. So we are obligated, we believe, to tear them apart.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's her today. It'll be somebody else.
Yeah,
it was, I look back. It was Obama when he was the rock star,
right.
And now the rock stars change.
Right.
But what comes out of their mouth doesn't.
Right.
And what comes out of her mouth
mm-hmm.
Is the direction of where the Democrat Party is going.
Right.
And so, of course, we're going to speak about it because she is, in our opinion, the only coveted endorsement of the majority of Democrat presidents for the United States of America right now.
Mm-hmm.
The other major party She has a tremendous amount of influence right now. She has challenged the Democrat leadership. Yeah, her ideas are completely and totally bogus.
Mm-hmm.
Her knowledge and understanding of how the world works is zero.
Right.
That's why it's so important that we talk about her, because she is a growing influence and, we believe, the biggest influence right now in the Democrat Party, in the future.
Yep.
She might not be. She might, as other rock stars have done, flame out.
Mm-hmm.
But at the moment, she is the spiritual and intellectual and or anti-intellectual base, growing base of the Democrat Party. And that's why we talk about her. Why they talk about her, that would be the question.
Well, and that's it. And why the left is, again, wondering why and almost criticizing the right for talking about her. That tells us you don't want any discussion around her, because if you did, you know, if you supported, if you agreed with her and the way she delivers her message, you wouldn't have any problem with anybody talking about it.
And then this came from Bruce, another email. The administration is looking for an easy out with Iran. Now they are too deeply involved. They can't get out. They are stuck with Iran now. I don't even know how to answer this email.
Yeah,
I don't know how you're observing what is going on.
Stuck with Iran. What does that mean?
I have no idea. I mean, the president responded to a terrible deal that the Obama administration put together.
Mm-hmm.
We've been dealing with Iran. We've been dealing with Iran since I became a radio host.
Yeah.
Almost 40 years ago. So
yeah.
I don't.
In fact, the money that Obama gave back, those assets were frozen back when I was
1979, 1980.
I was going to say 13, 14 years old.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what you mean. We're stuck with Iran now. I don't know if we've ever been unstuck.
Right.
It's a rare, but I don't. The language that you use, the terminology, I just don't get it. I look at this and say, Bruce, and with all due respect, have you been paying attention the last 40 years?
Right.
This isn't new. It wasn't that Iran was no problem and Trump became president and now we're stuck with Iran. I don't think that's an accurate way to look at what's been going on
not
the last 40
the whole
years.
Story.
But we do appreciate your email.
Yeah, thanks.
I had to address that.
Now, had Trump given back those assets, we might talk. We might be having a little bit of a
You'd be impeached.
Different discussion, because yes, and we'd have a problem with it. If he did what Obama did with those assets, we'd say, wait a minute. And I think the rest of the world would too, and the left would be too. Can you imagine? I mean, think about that. That Trump in February of 2017,
he would have,
days after becoming president officially, the left would be, he put us in danger. And then today, given the recent attacks and the downing of a drone, oh, it would be never ending.
He would have been accused of colluding with the Iranians and
yes,
the world's
exactly.
leadest, excuse me, the world's biggest exporter of terrorism. And Trump colluded with it to expand terrorism worldwide.
Yep. Empowering Iran to do what they're doing today. And they are a threat to the world because of Donald Trump. That's how that would go down.
Yep.
Are they screaming about that in the left media about Obama doing it?
Nope.
Nope. And the fact that he did it without Congress, that Iran deal?
Nope.
Nope.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So, the Trump administration, this from the Wall Street Journal, ordered new sanctions that aim to freeze the assets of Supreme Leader Khamenei's office and several Iranian military commanders, including plans to target the foreign minister, Javid Zarif, later this week. President Trump signed an order one Monday authorizing the new sanctions as part of a message to Iran that Washington will not ease up on its economic pressure campaign against the country. We will continue to increase pressure on Iran, the president said from the Oval Office. Now, Iran, in response to that, the Iran Foreign Ministry in a tweet said today that the new U.S. sanctions that target the supreme leader and other Iranian officials permanently end any chance of diplomacy between the countries. The U.S. and Iran have seen tensions increase in the past few weeks. The foreign ministry took to Twitter to call out President Trump's latest decision to impose additional sanctions. And the sanctions means closing the channel of diplomacy forever.
Mm-hmm.
According to Reuters, Trump's desperate administration is destroying the established international mechanisms for maintaining world peace and security. I've read a lot over the last couple of days. The sanctions are having an effect on Iran.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they're feeling that pressure, and certainly internally they're feeling the pressure from the citizens, obviously.
Right.
That's the idea of sanctions, and the frustrations we've seen play out, and they've manifested into these attacks, this drawing in of the U.S., and it likely will continue, and the administration is right to ramp up sanctions and keep them there. And put the pressure on them because they cannot have nuclear capabilities. We understand they've already been very vocal about what they want to do, and we can't allow them to have that. We can't allow them to grow into a massive power, a massive threat. They already are to that extent, but if they have those weapons, certainly that threat is much greater.
The fear is not just that they would get nuclear weapons, but when Israel believes they have the potential to create them, they're at that point is where most believe there will be a war. Israel will not allow that to happen.
Right. A preemptive strike, I think, is a given when they are at that level, because it's not just about the ability to launch from Iran, but to use. I mean, this is they have sponsored terrorism for a long, long time, to use that technology even on a smaller scale, to use those weapons to be carried into, let's say there's this big free country that has porous borders, for example. And that becomes a real threat. But the immediate threat that Israel feels being in that region is something that is very clear.
Well, here's the point. The countries in the Middle East don't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon.
No, they don't. They know.
They don't. They don't want them. So what effect will the personal sanctions have? That's still up for debate, whether it will affect the supreme leader at all in a country like Iran.
It's almost like a social media approach to it. You know, when you talk about personal sanctions,
yes,
we need to talk about then the power and leverage that that their nation would have in terms of assets.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.